the hat and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Just about now, a four-day ceasefire is supposed to start in Gaza between Israel and Hamas. A few hours later, to be followed by releases of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails in exchange for hostages taken by Hamas in the October 7 terrorist raids. But until the guns and the bombers are confirmed silent, the BBC's Orla Garin tells us,
people are very concerned about the possibility of being duped, and many are afraid that this deal could fall apart after one day, that perhaps the first group will be released and then that something will go wrong. I think it goes without saying that there is no trust here in the motives of Hamas, and of course worries about how many of these hostages are actually alive. There has been no proof of life provided through this entire period.
All this causing roller coaster emotions for Israelis like Eli David, his brothers among the hostages not expected to be freed in the first group.
I still fear for his life, and we know nothing about him, about his medical situation and so on.
Apparently related to the tensions over the Mideast war, a former State Department official in the Obama administration, Stuart Seldowitz, is now facing hate crime charges in New York City. He was caught on video launching into an Islamophobic rant against a food cart vendor.
Mohammed Hussein recorded Seldowitz several times on different days outside his halal food cart and says he made anti-Islamic statements.
You're a terrorist. You support terrorists.
Seldowitz had been a career State Department official and also worked for the Obama administration as acting director for South Asia at the National Security Council.
Correspondent Roxana Saberi, also in New York, very different story despite the heightened security, the annual Thanksgiving parade.
From the dazzling floats and A-list performances to SpongeBob SquarePants, the massive Pillsbury Doughboy, and of course,
Snoopy.
Millions of people packed the New York City streets to catch a glimpse of their favorite characters soaring through the sky.
Correspondent Tom Hansen. In southeast Alaska, the search goes on for an adult and two children missing after a landslide ripped through a remote fishing community, and there are fears of more landslides.
One of the biggest signs that people need to be listening for are noises like rumbling, trees cracking, boulders knocking, especially if that noise starts as a faint noise and gets louder and louder and louder.
Barrett Salisbury, he is an Alaska state geologist. Better news reported in Kentucky, CSX says the chemical fire at a train derailment that caused evacuations is out. Residents can now return to their homes. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
12 overnight under clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies tomorrow, 31. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Trying to be a father.
Here we are, CJ and Crudy, and we're not in the same room. If I could have chosen, CJ, I'd have you here in the room with me. You must be off at deer camp, right?
Yes. Southern deer camp. Yes.
Yeah, you look too warm for deer camp. It's cooler here in the state. You're doing the Tim Michaels. You must vacation outside the state 188 days a year.
He's yet to invite me to his estate. Well, no, I'm blessed to be down here in Southern Florida, closer to the equator for sure.
Well, CJ, I want to have a conversation with you. And I know that you know you were banned for a little bit, banned from my show and kind of banned from the network. CJ, you've become something of a caricature sometimes. I think people, they say, oh, CJ. And they don't know who the hell CJ is, not the real CJ. So rather than allow you to continue to be a caricature and be the kind of guy we would ban, first and foremost, did it ever make you feel bad? Do you feel bad when you're bad, CJ, when you're that guy?
When I'm banned?
Yeah.
Well, certainly. But, you know, Curry, I've been calling, defending my position for 30 plus years. So I'm used to it. I'm used to the name calling. And usually that just shows that people can't defend their argument. And I continue to call to try to get my position across, and I don't always get to. So I get more frustrated than I get mad. But I get it. I get it. You know, I try to stay within the guardrails that you folks put up, but I tend to point out the hypocrisy that goes on, and I actually see it on both sides, but I do get frustrated. I would say that.
I also find it hard to color between the lines. CJ, you're a guy that have you voted for Trump historically, and will you vote for Trump again?
I'm voting Republican. I don't care who the nominee is. Donald Trump wasn't my first choice in 2016. But I tell you what, I love his policies. I don't like a lot of his actions, but he gave us an amazing situation that we are now, the world's on fire. And I don't think it would have been, I don't think it would be if he would have been reelected.
Now, CJ, you know, I don't see eye to eye on this. I cannot understand why you choose to support Donald Trump, because I think we've seen him govern. But setting that aside, because I know you don't understand all the time ways I feel. Why would Crudy feel that way? I get it. That's why we're talking today, is because we don't agree with everything. But let me ask you, of all the radio shows you could choose to listen to, why do you listen to the Devil's Advocates or Civic Media? Why do you choose to turn the dial to the left, let's say, relative to your own ideology?
To tell you the truth, I'll give a quick insight. How I got involved in this, I was about in my early 20s, and I worked in roads construction. I got laid off, and I'd work the winters. And a friend of mine had a steel factory that I went and worked at through the winter trying to raise a family. And I had a 1976 Chevette. It got two radio stations, WLS, and I ran into Rush Limbaugh there. And I listened to Rush Limbaugh when he first came on the radio. And he basically stated my position and my feelings better than I've ever heard someone. Other than probably Mr. Buckley. And I don't know if you remember Mr. Buckley. They consider him the father of conservatism. But that's how I kind of got started in this, is not always hearing my position on radio shows. And So if I could listen to one station, I would bring back Rush Limbaugh. And he used satire, which was fun, and he explained stuff in the simplest terms, and he preached personal responsibility. He believed in freedom of America, that you can create your own path. And I don't think that's done anymore. We're always looking to the man, the government, to solve our issues. And that's not the government's responsibility. Yes, there should be a safety net for people who are hurting and having issues, but it shouldn't be the first call. Part of the issues we're having today is because I think of the downfall of the family, of faith, of structure, of patriotism, and the blessing that we've been born in this country. We got the lottery. We got the lottery just by being birthed here. And what's going on now with the border? We were warned about it. What's going on with inflation? We were warned about it. We've been warned about what's going on around the world. And it's falling apart in front of my eyes, and it breaks my heart, because the one thing that my dad taught me, or two things I would say, you're lucky to be here.
So, CJ, you said your dad taught you a couple things, and then I lost you for a moment. So finish your thought, if you would.
Well, I'm not sure where you lost me, but I just, how I got started was I didn't always hear my position, and I care about the country. I was blessed to be born into a two-parent family, and I think family, faith, and patriotism is, and I not to mention that someone with another opinion isn't patriotic. But when I hear America dissed the way I do, even right now with what's going on, you know, around the world, it bothers me.
Well,
it bothers me to the point.
Let's not go there for just the sake of this conversation, if you'd be so kind. Although I didn't ever really hear an answer why you chose to listen to the Devil's Advocates. There's obviously other shows.
That might have been the part that fell off.
I'd like to hear that part again, CJ. Why'd you choose the greatest radio show ever for your listening pleasures?
Well, and I do love and like a lot of your shows and your hosts. As you know, I was your first T-shirt winner 12 years ago, Crudy. Haven't you been on the radio 12 years?
Yeah, something like that. I can't verify the truth of that statement, but I believe you believe, CJ. And you got a Devil's Advocates T-shirt somewhere, right?
Well, it was pretty thin material, so I pretty much wore it to death. I'm sorry, but you know, I enjoy your station because I don't want to listen always to a host that they're preaching to the choir. I like to hear what the other side says, and I think we all want the same thing. We just see a different way of getting there. And that's one reason why I listen, and I wanted to defend. Sometimes when I hear it portrayed how either Republicans or libertarians believe, I'm like, no, 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 no. So that's when I feel the urge to call in and set the record straight on what we believe.
But I don't think you always put your best foot forward, CJ. And I think you would readily admit you have maybe been a little over-anxious at times when you've joined us on the air. And nobody wants to catch a ban. Nobody wants to, you know, be reviled by the audience, right? That's not your goal. You're trying to put your point of view out there, but you're not trying to be the headline. CJ says is not the headline, is it?
No, I come across as an angry old man sometimes, I think. And as the conversation goes, my voice gets elevated. There's many times where I'll only get one sentence and then my mic's cut off and that's all I get. So I try to get as much in as I can, as quick as I can. And yeah, you're right. There's times I've had some help with family and friends that, gosh, if you just kept your composure a little better, you know? So yeah, I do regret it sometimes that I get overly anxious.
Well, I think we're both, and certainly Dom, I'll throw in since he's not here to defend himself. I think we're all guilty sometimes of talking past one another, right? I mean, that's the nature. I've got my strong opinion. You've got your strong opinion. And very rarely do I feel like, well, someone's opinion is going to be changed in real time. I don't really think that's how it works. The only way you ever change an opinion to my opinion, CJ, is if you sit back and rethink why you might feel about something the way you do. And all I'm hoping to accomplish, if there's an agenda behind Crudy's conversation with you today, I may encourage you to be introspective about why you feel the way you do about a few of the issues that, you know, you're out there espousing, sometimes with more or less success on the radio show. But let me start with a point I didn't know that we shared. And I learned this as we were kind of prepping for our little pre-Thanksgiving conversation here. CJ, you are actually supportive of unions. And there are a lot of Trump voters, I think, that were, you know, sort of blue-collar union guys once upon a time. But you count yourself amongst the union supportive. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I thought that's what you told me. Is that true?
It is true. I do believe in unions, but I think sometimes they overstep their bounds.
How so? What's that mean? I don't know what that means.
I see a difference between public and private unions. The public unions, and I'm just going to use this as an example, Milwaukee overspent contracts that are breaking them right now and put them in a hole. Do people deserve to be paid with beautiful pensions and everything? But they didn't look at the whole picture. I'm a member of three unions. I'm a member of three public unions, or private unions, I'm sorry.
And well, you better draw a distinction, because otherwise you're being a little self-loathing right now, CJ. So what sort of unions do you belong to?
Well, I'd rather not say, to tell you the truth.
Well, not the individual union, but broadly.
Well, they're trade unions. They're trade unions.
Okay.
And
so if it's not the public sector, if it's the private sector.
I'm not saying all public is bad. I'm just saying that here's my personal issue, and I maybe was considered one of them. They protect bad employees. And I may have been one. I mean, I had a perfect, you know, gotten along with everybody on the job site, as that might surprise you, Crudy. But you know what? What I did do in the union, I got some amazing training. I'm an American soldier.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Where do you stand on immigration? And I know I've heard you talk about Joe Biden and open borders. Let's not get too caught up in stuff that, you know, you and I can't really control open borders. And you and I really can't control immigration policy. I think some of the stuff Trump rolled out was pretty harsh. And I don't control that. I can rail against it, but I can't control it. But we can control how we talk to each other about immigration. So what's your attitude on immigrants and immigration, CJ?
I describe it as, I believe, a wall. We should have a wall with a door in it and have legal immigration. As far as the previous president, he had it down to 300,000 undocumented immigrants per year. You know, we're doing that a month now. Over 7 million illegals, 1.8 million illegals gotaways that they don't know where they are, where they went to, and what they're here for.
CJ?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm not listening to your math. I don't do math on the radio. So here's what I hear. I hear some big number talking points. I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. I'm just telling you. I just hear someone else's talking points coming out of your mouth right now. I don't hear what CJ thinks about immigrants. That's what I care about. Not what Hannity or whoever. I want to hear what you think about immigrants. Do you ever come across immigrants in your own life, CJ?
Oh, yeah. Multiple times.
And where, like here in Wisconsin, or when you're down in Florida, or when you coming across immigrants typically?
Both.
Well, let's talk about your Wisconsin experience, just so we got some commonality there, because I don't get the vacation in sunny Florida as often as you apparently do. But let's talk about your Wisconsin experience. When are you interacting with immigrants of any sort? Do you think, I mean, you don't always know exactly where someone stands, but where are you interacting with them?
Well, I've interacted on job sites, family, friends I know that have come here legally and I potentially suspect are wanting to be legal and maybe aren't. But I think, I know you don't like my numbers, Crudy, but those are facts. And you can look at a chart. You don't need to do math to read a chart. The chart goes from a gradual downhill slide during President Trump to having total of three people that were on the terrorist watch list. But you know how many have gotten through during this president, Trudy?
And more than three, I suspect.
Over 200.
Well, okay,
I'm
going to take all your math as credible, CJ. I'm just telling you, it's non-convincing to me. The math itself doesn't convince Crudy that whatever you're trying to, the point you're not making your point. You're trying to influence me right now. And I'm trying to say, but I still haven't really, really heard what CJ feels about the immigrant population when you interact with them. Not numerically, is it a problem? I'll give you the math, dude. I'm believing your math. Okay. I'm granting you the math. I believe the Biden administration's got a serious problem, whether it's entirely real or whether it's perceived, perception becomes reality. I know that you perceive this to be a problem. But I want to know, when you go out there and you meet a dude on the job site, what was your experience on the job site with immigrant workers? Good, bad, or otherwise?
Some of the hardest workers I've ever seen, Crudy. Some of the hardest workers I've ever seen. So it's not a matter of, but again, that's fine. I want them, you know, they deserve. I love the fact they want to work hard and provide for their family. I still want it done the right way.
Well, but they don't control those policies, be it the math or the policies. Right. They don't control that, right? The individual worker, all they can do is come here and try to honor the law because they're trying to stay in the shadows, right? If they don't have a legal status and they're just trying to pay for their families, right? Which
they
is exactly
anymore.
What's that?
They aren't anymore.
What do you mean?
They're walking right to the border. They're coming here and they know they're going to get allowed in, and whether or not they have to show up, there's a right way and a wrong way. We're spending hundreds of millions of dollars protecting Ukraine's border, and look at ours, Crudy. You know how much? Here's another number. I know you don't like numbers, but every illegal costs our hospitals, our schools, our infrastructure. The Congressional Budget Office says $10,000 per year per illegal. That costs Americans money. And I love people. I love people. You could ask anybody. I mean, even you, when we've crossed paths, we don't have a problem. But I still want this done right.
Okay,
and there's some people who do it the right way, and they get stuck in the back of the end of the line. And right now, 10,000. Do the math. You can do it. 10,000 per times 7.7 million. That's $770 million these illegals are costing us right now since President Biden took office. That's costing our infrastructure.
Let me ask you, if I'm not clear, because again, I'm not doing math with you on the radio, but you said $770 million. And we're sitting on a budget surplus here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm just using comparative math of somewhere north of $4 billion. So while I certainly would readily agree, CJ, it's a drain on the commons, on the resources of we the people. I would also say there's probably some tax dollars that they pay under one social security number for 50 workers. You know what I mean? I had a friend that used to own a company, and he was a guy that was trying to do it the right way. He told me, I believed him mostly. And he said, you know, I've got a lot of Latino workers working for me, and they give me social security numbers, and I send the taxes in, and they don't register the taxes. That's not an active tax account. But I do my part. I mail in the checks. But the government sitting on a lot of money that FICA, SUTA, the taxation paid for those that don't have a legal status here. And they don't often get the opportunity other than perhaps utilizing the hospitals. CJ, do you believe that there's some money being left on the table by those hardworking immigrant dudes that can't go collect things like workers' comp, let's say, if they get hurt on the job site?
Yeah, you know who should be punished?
Who?
Is the people that employ them.
Yeah.
If they did that, this would help stop it too.
Well,
so it's not the immigrants that are trying to earn a living and feed their family that this, but this president campaigned on people to come, Prudy. It was in the debate. He said, come, you know, bring us your, you know, and that's what the Statue of Liberty says. But I want them to come through the door. I don't want them to sneak around a wall that isn't finished or dig a tunnel under a wall that is.
You know,
this was intentional, and it's all about future votes for the Democrat Party. If they want them to vote, they're going to, and it's already been proposed, if you have a social security number or a driver's license number, you're able to vote. And that's been proposed in New York already. Do you think they should be able to vote, Prudy?
Not if they don't have a legal status here. No, I don't think they should.
Thank you. There, now you and I have something we can agree on, but I appreciate it, buddy.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Minneapolis to battle for the Axe. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. 12 overnight under clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny skies tomorrow, 31. A dusting of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Here's what I do worry about. I worry about the fact that if guys like you and I, who I think are of good nature, we've proven we can at least break bread and have a conversation here on the radio. If we make the actual immigrants the problem, and they just want to come here. They just want some status. They just want to work. And many of them want to get away from really bad circumstances. CJ, didn't you tell me you got a family member who's going to be moving cross country?
Yes.
Doing it for work, I suspect, opportunity of some sort.
Very much so, yeah.
And you would support that move, even though you're going to miss him, I suspect, because I think you're a big-hearted guy, bigger than you'd like to admit. I bet you're going to miss... your child, right?
Definitely.
Nobody wants to move a kid across the country. You want them close. No. You want them near and dear.
Yeah, I mean, and Cootie, I haven't mentioned this. Thank you for this opportunity, because you and I have talked in person and whatever, but thanks again for letting me do this. But I miss her terribly, but she's been out west for 13 years. I'm going out to help her move to the south, and I miss her terribly. But yeah, I mean, she's a bird with her own family, and her and her husband are going to a better place with more opportunities. So I get it. I understand why people.
You see where I'm going here, right? Your own
yes,
kid.
People want to be here in the greatest opportunity land in the entire world. That's why they want to come. And I get it. But again, there's a right way and a wrong way. And here's part that bothers me, Crudy. We always hear about this comprehensive immigration reform. Well, why can't we just start with finish the wall and put a great big door in it? Why can't we start there? And there's one party that's fighting that. You know why? Because it's future votes.
I don't think that's
pulling on the heartstrings for people, whether it's this generation or the next generation. They're guaranteed to vote Democrat. And that's if it was for the right reasons and they were knowledgeable voters and that's what they believed, God bless you, vote away. But I don't think that's the reason. I think it's bribery. I think it's bribing votes the same way it was for the student loan forgiveness program.
Okay, let's set aside student loans for a bit, because I'm wanting to finish the immigration thought here. So let's see if we can bring some closure to this. Here's what I would point out. Whether it was Trump, the number wasn't zero under Trump, and the number is not infinity under Joe Biden. And what I would say is the number is certainly larger, and I'm agreed with all your math, because I'm not going to do any math here in this conversation, CJ. Think of me as half tanked up on Thanksgiving Day here, that, you know, I'm not doing math. But I agree with the math. I'm just assuming you did the math before you got here with the turkey and all the stuff you brought. So here's my thought. It's really the parties fighting each other. And I'm not sure, from my point of view, CJ, I'm not sure that the Democrats, that you're entirely off. I'm sure some Democrats do the demographic math and say, you know, the more young Latino kids that are born here because they become natural born citizens under current constitutional policy, of course, you know, the kids become the citizens. They become the
dreamers,
the dreamers, or whatever the case may be. And that's what we really, really actually want, are these young kids dreaming and living and providing the lifeblood, because somebody's going to have to look out for our generation, man. We aren't getting any younger. And I don't know if you've noticed, but my kids aren't going to be wiping my you-know-what when I get old and I need some care. That's not going to happen, not from my kids, probably. No offense to my kids, but they ain't helping Dad out in that regard.
Right.
So we all love our kids, right? The immigrant people, you know they do. You do. I do. We all love our kids. But we all are going to need probably some immigrant population to come in and help us with caretaking as Americans gentrify, as we get old and we still need care in place or somewhere. We're all still going to want to live and still going to want to whatever, but we're going to need care. So we need the labor and we need reform. But where I think you differ and where I differ is you sometimes might think, CJ, open borders and we want more voters and that's a policy choice done purposefully. And I don't think anyone's got that policy choice. I don't see that as anyone's motivation. And when I look at, let's say, the Trump policies, I look and say, man, they're not very Christian. They're not very humane. You know, they're out there, what, taking kids away from their parents, man? That's not what we want to see happen, is it? We don't want to take babies away from their parents. I know you wouldn't do that, CJ. So here's my question. If you and I can agree on the human side that there's a problem, we both want to get to the same solution. We kind of agree on what the problem is. We think more legal immigration would be good. Then why the hell aren't our elected serving either of our needs? Because really, I don't feel served by my electeds in this regard. I don't think the Democrats have come to the table to negotiate in good faith on this topic. So I agree with you in that regard. We're not solving it, but I certainly don't see any Republicans trying to solve it. And I think it's a problem worth solving. Do you agree with me that we could solve it if guys like you and I were maybe working out the details?
Yeah, I think we could solve a lot if we were, to tell you the truth, Crudy. But the mere fact that, you know, some of the things that are argued about, again, you know, this president, you know, and I'm talking about presently Joe Biden, president, said there will not be another foot of wall built under my administration.
I thought he backpedaled. I thought he's building wall again.
Well, he was forced to because it was already financed through a previous budget. So he was so proud that they were building it only because he had to. But again, it doesn't solve the problem. And I think a lot of times, one party more than the other, but I think both party does it, they keep items or issues alive as campaign issues instead of solving. So I agree with you that I'm not being represented. And I don't believe you're being represented. If it's hurting a veteran that's sleeping on the street because of now sanctuary cities, housing hundreds of thousands of illegals in hotel rooms for millions of dollars, this is wrong. That's wrong. And I don't understand why the mega Make America Great Again is such, you know, why is that phrase so dividing? We should be taking care of our veterans first. We should be taking care of our homeless first. We should be taking care of our hungry first. And if we did that, we'd have more to help the people over in Venezuela trying to escape corruption and dictatorship. So,
well, of course, you know the answer.
Take care of ours first.
These are rhetorical questions in some parts, CJ, because you know, Make America Great Again, the slogan, which in and of itself, man, you know, I served. I don't disagree with the concept, but you know, that's not what it represents. It's not about helping homeless people. I don't ever hear Donald Trump out there talking about homeless veterans. Do you? I mean, realistically, that's not one of his top campaign issues. So that's not what MAGA means to him. That might be what a good America, what a priority should be. And I don't disagree, man. We should absolutely, if we expect these dudes to serve and women to serve and go overseas and put their lives and get arms and you know what blown off. Well, absolutely, man, we should be taking care of those people. But that's, you talk about the hypocrisy, CJ. Where I see the hypocrisy is all the war hawks that don't take care of the veterans when they get back. You know, they're all quick to chase the soldiers off to some theater. Usually it's about oil, but, you know, setting that aside. But I agree with you, dude. I just don't think that it should be the veteran on the street or the immigrant on the street. I think the resources do probably exist if there was a coordinated effort. But I do think, dude, you're right. I think CJ, you're right in this regard. I think it's a campaign issue. It's an evergreen. It's something they can come back. They come back to this well. And every election cycle, CJ, tell me you don't see this pattern. There's a caravan heading for America on Fox News every election cycle. You've seen it, have you not?
Yes.
And don't you think that's just kind of ginned up a little bit? I mean, I realize there are times during the course of seasonal things when we see more immigrants moving as a collective, but you get that they sort of gin up the fear sometimes on the media, both sides, but they gin up the fear. You get that sometimes, don't they, CJ?
Very much so. And first, Crudy, thank you for your service. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, I was, my dad served. He didn't talk about it. I found out through actually a niece who did a college report on him, and it's the few times I've ever heard a lot of the stuff that he went through. And again, I just feel we are so blessed in this country to have people who are willing to sacrifice their lives. They volunteer to do it. And one thing about Israel, every one of those men, women, and children are forced to serve in their service.
That part's true.
And I love that.
You do. And what do you think that breeds amongst the Israeli people? What changes if you've got to serve your country in the military for, I think it's a year, right? Maybe two.
Yeah, I think it just, you know, ingrains in you caring about your heritage, your country, your strength of community and It joins people. I hate the fact we're so divided. It just, it bothers me to so much, because we are so blessed to live in this country of opportunity. And I don't care what color you are, what sex you are, what gender, whatever. I don't care. We're lucky to be here. And to hear our country dissed, that bothers me more than anything.
What
because
part?
I know the sacrifices
what
have been made.
Now, I don't know what you mean by dissing. Who's dissing the country? I'm thinking Dominic, but who are you talking about?
Well, you know, I just heard recently former President Obama speak, and he basically, you know, we got to take some of the responsibility for what Hamas did and the strikes in Gaza and all this stuff. And no, we don't. This is evil. We're not going to negotiate our way out of this. The mere fact that the hatred is ingrained in these people didn't just happen.
And you and I aren't going to solve multi-millennia conflict in the Middle East through our Thanksgiving.
I'm not going to apologize for America, and I'm tired of hearing it. We are a good people. We are a great country, and we've sacrificed lives all over the world.
But we're not infallible, CJ. That's all the former president is saying. We're not infallible, dude. And in fact, that is exactly, to my opinion, dude, why I did join the military, why I was willing to sacrifice my life. Not because our nation is perfect and beyond reproach, but because our nation is sometimes flawed, and it's not perfect, but it's the best damn one we got, right? It's not, CJ, I think being critical of some aspect of the country, dude, I wake up every morning, I joke, I got a smile on my face, and then somebody screws it up for me. And I find something in life that needs to be improved. It's in my nature, CJ. It's why I get out of bed. It's why I do a radio show. It's because every day something I see, a little problem that maybe my ass could solve. And what I would think, CJ, is that we want to solve some problems in this world, and I think you do as well.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still going to give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you two.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I was blessed to have my parents to an older age, Crudy. My dad passed away, I think he was 74. My mom lived to 92, but she had dementia that we didn't catch as early as we would have liked to. But yeah, your story blew me away. Literally, I'm almost getting emotional now hearing your story about what you and your brother went through. I don't think I would be the same person you are. I'm impressed as hell at the compassion you have in everybody you talk to.
No, I can be blunt, CJ.
But really blew me away, man. I mean, to hear that story, and again, I didn't know it was your wife you were talking to, but till that show that had that show. I had heard her, and I've always thought she did a good job, but a couple of kids that became CNAs and, you know, did that, worked in that field of elderly. And we don't pay those people enough. We don't pay teachers enough. The good ones. And the good ones and the ones that care and are there for the right reasons. So, yeah, you blew me away on that story. And I didn't, but my story was not as difficult as yours. I had siblings that were involved, and we were able to bring in some caregivers and stuff. But
you're talking about mom or dad or somebody else?
My mom, basically. My sister, pretty much, and my mom took care of my dad. But
now, when if I cross the line, just don't answer. Tell me to go. You know what, myself. But when my mom was dying, my mom had lung cancer, but it had metastasized and it had gotten into her optic nerve and she couldn't see right. And that's what sent her to the doctor. But it was brain cancer by this point, basically. And she wasn't the same person, you know, in big stretches. I remember this will date me. I saw the movie E.T. And I don't know, first time you ever see that movie E.T., man, as a kid, I was just mesmerized. And I was like 11, 12 years old, and I come home, and I'm so excited to tell my mom about this movie, E.T. And she interrupted me in the telling of the story, and she said, you know, I'm not going to remember this. And, you know, it stopped me. I remember this to this day, CJ, but... You know what I mean? It's it changed her. And then the day she died, actually, I'm a little confessing here. The day my mom died was Christmas morning. And I had an argument with my brother the night before. He had said something pretty harsh to me, something to the effect of, you know, you can't wait for mom to die. And, you know, she was terminally ill and it was getting to be a long time. And on some level, as a 12-year-old, I probably did have that somewhere across my mind because it enraged me. And I went battering. My brother locked himself in the bedroom and I'm hammering the door and I'm like going for pliers to go pull the hinges off the door to get to this kid. And I'm that effing pissed. I'm going to beat the you-know-what out of my brother for bringing that perhaps pain in that reality out of me. And so I remember my mom was on the couch in the living room. She pretty much lived in the living room at that point. And I walked by her and CJ, she grabbed me. And my mom had been a really strong woman and she was just a fraction of herself, just a shadow of what she had once been. But when she grabbed me, dude, you know, she like, that was like mama bear grab. Like she was protecting her other brother from me or her other son from me. And, it stopped me, you know, it took the evil out of me. It just, mom stopped me. And I remember because that was Christmas Eve night. And I always have felt guilty because I don't know if my brother ever came out of the bedroom again to see his mom before she passed. So anyways, dude, I guess the point is, even at the end, even though my mom had changed, I saw the mom, you know what I mean? It's all of a sudden it was there again. And I don't know where it was hiding and where it had gone, but she was my mom. She was going to kick my ass if I beat that door anymore. So anyways, dude, I don't know what it's like to see a someone live through dementia. That's got to be really hard. But
as difficult as it was for me, Crudy, I didn't go through what you did as a young man.
But, and, you know, we all, nobody's I'm not trying to stack it up, man.
I get that. I get that. Had we caught it earlier, she was pretty good at hiding what was going on. And it was during COVID that I pretty much said goodbye to her. She was, you know, it was a one-story health facility that I had to look through the blinds at her if she could see me. but she still was a beautiful person. It didn't all go the way we want for her. I know it wasn't her wish, but I was blessed to have her for my family was blessed to have her for 92 years. And I just know the work that those people do. And I was able to come and go, you know, visiting her and trying to see her. But yeah, those people that deal with that day in, day out are pretty special people. And we need to do something to help them, you know, to keep an eye on them, to pay them more, to make things better for those people. Because we're all going to have to go through it eventually, some way, one way or another.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean, man. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
CJ, I probably got to wrap this up. I got a little radio show to do a little bit later here today. But any final thoughts? I want to extend one final thought. Merry, happy holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas to you, CJ, and the soon-to-be Mrs. CJ. And I'm you know, hoping for the best with your daughter's move here back to the South. But any final thoughts you got for today, CJ? I want you to have an opportunity, man. You've been banned for a while. Any final thoughts? And don't make it about Joe Biden.
Well, again, thank you for this opportunity, Crudy. And God bless you and your family and all your listeners. I hope they have an amazing holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, because we truly are blessed to be in the Star-Spangled Banner country. So, again, thank you so much for this. And I really do mean that, Crudy. I know I'm hard to handle on the phone, and I am trying to get help for that.
This is Crudy. The doctor is in. Hey, CJ, happy Thanksgiving. Let's end on a high note, my friend.
All right. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, be well, bye-bye. CJ.
Here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.